God good, you all? Regardless of what's going on in your life, you got to give him some praise because he is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Ben. Thank you so much. Thank you, David. Thank you, all of you all. Thank you, praise and worship team, for ushering in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm in a good place physically and spiritually right now. Yeah. Well, Father, here we are again. That's what my former pastor's wife used to say. Well, Lord, here we are again. You didn't make a mistake when you woke us up this morning. You didn't say, oop, I woke you up. I didn't mean to do that, but we're here because he has a purpose and he has a plan, amen? Because you're a good God, you allowed us to see a day that was not promised to us. You allowed us to come into your house, enter your gates with thanksgiving, and into your courts with praise on today, Father. And we give you thanks. Hallelujah. We give you thanks and praise today. We lift our arms up to you. We lift our hands up to you right now, God, just to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Give the Lord another hand praise. Hallelujah. I spoke at the 8 o'clock service this morning, and got a script, you all, but I didn't need a script this morning for some reason. James and Lisa do an amazing job over there in sharing and just taking care of the community, the church over there. If you haven't been over there at 8 o'clock, you're missing out. It's a blessing to see so many people over there. Packed house this morning, and God is just good. And James got up right before I did, and I don't even know how I'm going this morning, you all. So, as the Lord leads, Pat said, what did you say when I came in? Use what you got. Give us what you got. Okay, I'm going to give you what I got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's going to be the word of God. But anyway, James got up this morning, and the audience over there, you have to know your audience when you're speaking. And the audience over there reminded me of 29, maybe a year before we even really started ministry. As I looked around and saw the congregation, it consisted of a lot of some homeless people, some men who had just gotten out of prison, and just a plethora, you know, of different situations going on. And so I just wanted them to know that that I feel them. I remember, it made me remember when we started ministry in our family room, and God said, call my husband to ministry. And of course, I didn't know, but I just followed in obedience. You want to do that, ladies. When God calls your husband or vice versa, you follow in obedience. I learned that lesson, thank God. And it was a blessing because as I looked over the audience, if we had not been obedient to God and thankful to God to where he was calling us, we wouldn't see a lot of those faces over there. So I could relate to what I saw, and it made my heart feel so good and so thankful that we're in this, now let me back up. I'm not going to say that right now. But it just made me grateful that it consisted of men who got out of prison and said, I don't know where to go. But my husband, we opened our doors, not just church doors, but our home, our beds, our table, our family. We were able and blessed to open it up to people we had no idea who they are. We knew some a little bit about their past, but we didn't know who we were bringing into the house. But God knew because he was preparing us. He was positioning us for the people that he wanted us to serve. You know, it's hard to serve people spiritually if you're not taking care of their natural needs. If you don't have a house to put them in, a bed for them to lay in, food for them to eat, clothes to put on their back, their natural needs, it's hard for them to receive spiritually. Some of you all don't know that. Some of you do know that. So it was a blessing. I'm saying this because I'm thankful. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful to be married to a man who obeyed God's calling. I know he's probably watching right now, and the boys are watching because they're doing a father-son weekend this weekend, and it makes my heart happy that they're able to do that. And that he's able to still pour into those little boys who are now grown men now. Amen. So that's a blessing. So I'm thankful on today for the word of God. We've been talking about, Pastor's been leading us in the message of thankfulness. And I already know right now I'm not going to stay in my notes, Ron. I'm sorry. But you all, when we think Thanksgiving, and when we know the season, per se, Thanksgiving, we see this stuff, don't we? This is what we see. We see stuff like this, like I put in my house. But Thanksgiving is more than a season. I want you all to get this. Thanksgiving is more than a season. It's a lifestyle. We don't wait as Christians for next Thursday or this Thursday to come, and then everybody's all thankful. Everybody wants to go around the table and say what we're thankful for. No, it should be all year long, because the Bible proclaims, the Bible, the Word of God says, be thankful always, yeah. Always. Yeah. So that's where we're going to start at. The benefits, or if you want to put the word in there, blessings of thanksgiving and praise. And there are benefits in it, because God does it. His will is not that we be people of murmuring, complaining, and grumbling. And then when we get to the table, are we all happy and lovey-dovey, and we're thankful for all this stuff. And all year long, we've been Lord knows what and saying Lord knows what and acting. Amen? And this doesn't mean it's not a whooping message or anything, okay? But I just want you to understand the importance of being thankful in everything. Be thankful. So I had them to sing this song because Psalms 100, 4 and 5 says, enter his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures not just now, but from generation to generation to generation, you guys. What does thankfulness mean? It means to show yourself grateful. How many got kids? You know, I knew when my children, my boy Sean, were grateful. I say Sean because Sean grew up with Corbin, Deion, and Alex. I knew when they were grateful when they were obedient. That showed me they were grateful. When I had them to do something and they did it right, that tells me they're grateful. But when they're disobedient, that lets me know, yeah, y'all not grateful. And it's hard for me to give, bless, when we're not grateful. You know, birthdays coming up, proms coming up, all this stuff is coming up, but you ain't been doing what you're supposed to do. You don't act the way you're not grateful. And that's the way I believe Jesus is sometimes, like when you obey my word, that lets me know that you're thankful. That lets me know that you're grateful that I went to the cross for you. That lets me know that you're thankful. Not just when you come into these four walls, not just when it's Thanksgiving season, but your lifestyle shows me that you're thankful. And that when things don't go your way, you're not murmuring, you're not complaining, you're not talking about people and all this, when they're not doing what you want them to do. But in all things, you are what? You're grateful. So I want to talk about some benefits. Just, you know what, I'm not going to say anything you probably have not heard, because we know there's blessing in being thankful. There's a song and there's a saying that says, when praises go up, blessings come down. And y'all know y'all want some blessings. Don't we want blessings? Hallelujah. So, number one, thanksgiving. It gives you access to God, and it positions you for a supernatural blessing. I want some supernatural blessings. So therefore, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in all things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I don't get it right all the time. I'm not going to sit up here and act like I just... thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. She said such and such. Thank you, Lord. but I'm learning still. We're all learning together. But when you are aware that you're not being thankful, line up with a quickness. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God, because the Lord sees your heart. Amen? Amen. So 20-something years ago, I was diagnosed with Graves' disease. It's a disease of the thyroid gland. It regulates your metabolism, and you can look all that up. I'm not going to go into it. But I remember when I went to the doctor just for a regular visit, and I knew I had been exercising and losing weight, and I was good with that, but he says, no, this is something different. And so they took me through a couple of tests and all that and said, you're diagnosed with, well, I have never heard of Graves' disease before. So I looked it up, and they would tell me all the things that could be happening to me, and you could even die. And at that point, I did take something they called an iodine treatment or radioactive iodine treatment that's supposed to correct that, but it didn't correct it. I went hypothyroid instead of hyperthyroid. And then from that, they wanted to prescribe a medicine for the rest of my life. That's 20 years ago, which I've never taken. Hallelujah. I stood on the promises of God. But backing up, when they diagnosed me, I have to tell you the truth. I didn't say thank you, Lord. I was like, why me? And God said, why not you? Because we go through things and we wonder and we question, why am I? Because the word of God says we are going to have tests and trials in our life. And they are going to come to make you what? To make you a better person, to make you strong. And had not, I can tell you all now, had I not gone through some of the things I've gone through in my life, I wouldn't be in the place of worship or thankfulness right now. I enjoy being and ushering in the presence of a God, if you all don't know that. Because I don't care if nobody else is out on this floor. I'm going to get my praise on. I'm going to let the Lord know how much I love him, how much I praise him. Amen, amen. And I'm looking at the clock, but that's okay. But I thank the Lord that I know him. Psalms 22:3 says, God inhabits the praises of his people. And I want him to inhabit me. I want him to dwell where I am. And for him to do that, I'm going to have to be thankful. Even when things don't look good, even when things don't sound good, even when they're not talking to me right, I'm going to practice a heart of thanksgiving. Amen. When you're married to somebody, you're not always going to think the same way. You're not always going to do things the same way. Sometimes it's going to take years for them to seem like they're going to do what you think they should do. And sometimes you never get there. But I thank you, Lord, anyway. Some people say, how you been married 42 years, God? God, and I thank the Lord for my husband, and I thank the Lord for my husband, and I thank the Lord for my husband so much. But God, first, vice versa, husbands and wives, be thankful for who God has given you. Nobody's perfect. Nobody has arrived. I thought I'd say that. A little marriage counseling right now. Be thankful for your spouse. You ain't got it all together. You prayed and asked God for that person. You went down in sackcloth and ashes. Lord, please let me have them. And now you're saying, Lord, please take them back. No. But I tell you what, if you're not thankful for them, there's plenty of men and women out here ready to take them off your hands. We can move right along from there. That's something for all y'all who even thinking about getting married, okay? Y'all better make sure y'all seeking the Lord's direction on that one, okay? Okay, number two, be thankful and magnify God. God is to be magnified, you all. We're thankful for God, and he wants us to magnify him. Thanking God, no matter what, makes God bigger than any circumstance. God is to be magnified. He's to be made bigger than whatever problem you think you have. Some of us think we got problems. It ain't really no problem. because we haven't sought God's direction on it. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him and let him direct your path. That's being thankful. When you trust God with your whole heart and stop that Jita thinking, that stinking thinking, Pastor Sheriffs like to say. Magnify God regardless of what's going on in your life. Make him big. When people in your office, your neighbors, those who know you are Christians, Christ-like, when they see you and know that you're going through certain things in life, and you are magnified, you're not walking around like this, oh, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, how my bills going to get paid, how my child going to straighten up, where are we going to get the next meal? No, Lord, thank you, Lord, that my bills are going to be paid. I thank you, Lord, that my car is going to start when I put the key in. I thank you, Lord, that my house note is going to be paid. When you know things in the natural don't look like they're lining up, but in the spiritual, God is doing some work. He's changing some stuff. He's changing some stuff that you don't even see. But in your praise and in your thanksgiving, God's going to come through for you. Amen? I don't care what the situation is. I know for a fact when I was in a midnight hour in St. Louis in the hotel room on the floor at a Joyce Myers conference, and the Lord said, be thou healed. And the doctor's report was saying different. And I just said, thank you, Lord. 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 20 years later, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks and praise draws others and breaks change. Thanks and praise draws others and breaks chains. Paul and Silas in prison for something they didn't even do, undue justice, in chains, beaten, praising God. The other people listening to them, the jailer listening, other prisoners listening, they are hearing and say, are they out of their mind? They just got beaten, they in chains, they in the dungeon, not just in the jail, they back up in there. And they praising God like that. They praising them so that an earthquake comes and chains began to fall off. See, when you praise God like you should, your chains, your problems, your chains are going to start coming apart. That's when you're praising God like you take your eyes off your circumstance. Put your focus on the Lord. Start praising him. Amen. And watch some chains start breaking. Watch your circumstances start falling. And then people get saved when they see you and how you go through your circumstances. It don't matter what people are saying about your circumstance. It don't matter. God is working it out. He is working it out. Amen. Paul and Silas praised so that the jailer, the guard got saved. His family got saved. I mean, they was like, man, I don't know what kind of God you serving, but I want some of that. And that's the way people will look at you. I don't know what, I know you got some stuff going, but I want some of that. I want some of that Jesus you got. Amen? Your children, your family, your coworkers, even those who, even your enemies. They be like, I don't know what you're doing, but I want some of that. Amen? Hallelujah. I want all the benefits and the blessings God has for me. So therefore, I'm going to praise him like I never praised him before. Amen? Hallelujah. Earl, it's been almost, I don't know how long it's been now, but I've been having some problems with my back and had some tests done, and boy, my back was hurting. And then it's getting better now, thank God. I thank God that it's getting better. I would get up in the morning and couldn't even hardly get the blanket up to make up the bed because I would hurt so bad. And then after I started feeling better, let me tell y'all, after I started feeling better, then my arms started hurting. And I was like, Lord, now I know I'm getting there in an age, but I ain't receiving this. But as my back was getting better and my arms started hurting, even waking me up at night, you know what I said? Thank you, Lord. Because my back and my arm ain't hurting at the same time. It's a matter of perspective, how you look at things, you all. So make God bigger than your problems and your situations, okay? Don't rehearse your problems over and over and over again. Rather, thank God over and over and over again. I'm telling you. Number three, when you thank God, it pleases him. It does. It does. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. It didn't say when things are going well, thank you, Lord. It says in all things. I didn't say for all things, but in the midst of it, because I know who I serve. He's walking through me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I can trust him. He will guide me, DC. When things just don't seem like they're going right with mom, I can trust you, God. I thank you even though I don't know what's going on, God. God has turned some things around for Mama Frances, and I thank him for it. Amen. Hallelujah. We look at circumstances, and we can be so focused on that, we forget who God is. He's the greatest physician ever. He knows all. He sees all. He can do more than we could do. Why wouldn't we trust him and thank him? I don't know. What is our problem? We thank him through the good. We have to thank him through the bad. And we have to thank him through the ugly. We do. We thank him through trials. We thank him through triumphs. Amen. I read this. I have to read this because it's kind of funny. It said a husband needed his pants ironed. And his wife, as she ironed the pants, she burned them. These pants were my brand new pants that I was looking so forward to wearing, he said. Her husband started to get mad, but then he stopped to think. Before he reacted, he said, well, Lord, thank you that my leg wasn't in the pants. It's just a matter of how we look at stuff. We can praise God for anything. I got one more, y'all. One more. Here's another one. Matthew Henry, the famous Bible scholar, wrote in a diary, he said, let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, he said, because although I have been robbed recently, they took my wallet. They did, but they didn't take my life. Okay, then he said, third, let me be thankful that although they took my all that was in my wallet, it wasn't that much. But then he said, fourth, because it was I who was robbed and I wasn't doing the robbing. I mean, it's a matter of how we look at things. I could have been the one robbing somebody, but no one said I was being robbed, but my life was saved. We need to learn just to be more thankful. I said earlier, don't forget, thankfulness is not just the season of November. And then we go into Christmas and we want to be giving and all this. Oh, you're wrong. I'm reminded in the book of Acts, and I love the book of Acts, when it talks about how they gathered together. And they gave thanks and they break bread together. It wasn't just Thanksgiving. But they did it. They came together in the book of Acts. They saw to each other's needs all the time. They broke bread together. They found out if you were in need, how can we help you? If you were in need, how? That's the kind of life we should be living. Seeing who we can be a blessing to. See who's in need. Other than so much, we live in a society sometimes now, it's just about me, myself, and I. And if we're doing okay, we good. But God has blessed so many of us so much, we got overflow blessing that we can bless somebody else. If you want to get blessed, be a blessing. If you want to get, and when God tells you to bless somebody, don't you try to figure it out. Well, they already got this guy there. No, God said give them a blessing. You don't look at what they have. You just be obedient and watch overflow blessings come your way. Amen. You know, it gives my heart joy to give stuff away, to be a blessing to others. If you don't know what I'm talking about, try it. Try giving some stuff away. It's a good feeling to be able to be a blessing to someone else. Amen? All right, where am I? When Pastor said it last week, I was like, honey, you didn't have to say it like that. But he said, when stuff happens, y'all know what he said last week. And it is going to happen, you all. It will happen. We can be thankful because the Lord's presence is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Y'all remember the story of Job? How Job lost his money, he lost his children, he lost his health. But you know what? He didn't cry and curse God like his wife told him to. What did he say? I will bless the Lord. Can you imagine losing family members, your money, your health going down? This is how I'm going out, I guess, Lord. But he didn't say that. He said, thank you, Lord. I bless you, Lord, anyway. And y'all know what happened. He got how much more? 100-fold, double-fold. I can't remember right now, but I know he got more than what he started out with. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praises shall continually be in my mouth. If you are a complainer or a mumbler, stop it. If you are a complainer and a murmurer, stop it. Do everything. Philippians 2 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Complaining can make you sick and unhealthy. Pastor, I think in his first message gave a whole list of things. If you're not thankful, what can happen to you physically? Amen? Complaining is not good. I was reading this, and I've got a few more minutes. It says, what does complaining do for you? It says, now this is from a source of doctors. It said, it shrinks the hippocampus. That's part of your brain. It shrinks it. It's an area of the brain that is critical to problem solving and intelligent thought. Come on now. So if you're always complaining and wonder why you're not smarter than you should be, it's messing with your intellect, your intelligence. Okay? Damage to the hippocampus is scary, especially when you consider that it's of the primary brain areas destroyed by Alzheimer's. So repeated complaining rewires your brain to make future complaining more likely. Y'all need to think about that. Be quiet. Shut your mouth. You ain't got to have the last say-so on everything. Y'all know what happened to Miriam when Moses, when they were crossing in Red Sea? Well, before they crossed, she complained and complained and complained about the leader. The children of Israel complained. There was like 14 complaints. They complained about water. They complained about being hungry. They complained about manna. They complained. Now, you would think they got out of Egypt, out of bondage. They was good to go. But no, they complained and complained and complained. And what should have only taken what? 11 days took 40 years because of their murmuring and complaining. If you want blessings from God, y'all better learn to keep it down. Because, you know, they said murmuring is like, you know, just always under your breath, just complaining about leadership, complaining about this, complaining about this. You don't know you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. You think you're hurting somebody else, but you're actually hurting yourself. And I'm going to wrap this up. This is good. There were 10 lepers. And they saw Jesus coming. Now, lepers back in the Bible day, they couldn't come around people, okay? They had to raise up signs and they go around saying, unclean, unclean, which let people know they were coming and they better get out of the way because we're contagious. We smell, we don't look good, we sick. But they saw Jesus coming, you all. And y'all know when y'all want something from Jesus, you don't care what nobody say. You're going to scream, you're going to yell. They said, Jesus. They said, Savior. They said, Master. Have mercy, Lord, have mercy. That's how we are when we want something from God. Oh, God, please, I need this, I need that, I need this. Boy, you talking about standing on your knees, you'll go to the prayer room, you get the blessed oil out, you get somebody with two or three together, let them agree and all that. Oh, man, when we want something. And then later on when we get what we got, we forget. What the song say, don't forget to remember. Children, don't forget. We're all your. So after he had, who was that up there singing so good? Oh, hey, Sean, I hear you. us not be like the nine. Sean, you can play, huh? Let us not be like the nine. God does so much for us, and we forget. Because when God healed them, when Jesus healed them, when the one came back and the one was so thankful for his healing, he said, but weren't there 10? But weren't there 10? Let's not be like the nine. Let's remember to be thankful, not just when times are good, but all year long, in all your circumstances, don't matter. If you have to put signs up, which I do sometimes, to remind me to be thankful. And this one just says, rejoice always. Pray continually, you all. Give thanks in all circumstances. I want you all to see this and look at it. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16. And 18. I'm not just saying this. The word says it. For you all who complain and haven't quite got it yet, be thankful in every circumstance. I got diagnosed with cancer. Lord, I thank you, because I know you're gonna take care of it. Lord, I lost my job. Oh, I thank you, Lord, because I know you got a better one for me. Lord, my child is acting up. Well, thank you, Lord. I know he's gonna come around sooner or later. Whatever it, I know if I was to ask all in the audience what the circumstance is, I know you all there'd be a room full of them. But what are you gonna do in the midst of it? I don't hear you. Well, I don't hear you. Give thanks. Give thanks.